Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Baylor University President Dr. Linda Livingstone. Her monthly visit with us here on the program and throughout this first semester of the school year, we'll be talking about the pillars of Illuminate and how they shape Baylor's academic strategic plan going forward. President Livingstone, it's great to have you each month. Thanks so much for joining us once again.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here and glad to be able to talk about the great work that we're doing at Baylor.
You know, we're moving into a key month in the month of October as we talk about Illuminate. And let's run down a little bit what that looks like again as we get started. Four pillars to Illuminate: Baylor's academic strategic plan, unambiguously Christian educational environment, which we talked about last month, transformational undergraduate education, research marked by quality, impact, and visibility, and nationally recognized programs in human performance through arts and athletics. Today, we're focusing on transformational undergraduate education. Let's just start off with what that phrase means when you see it in the context of Illuminate. Transformational undergraduate education. What does this actually mean?
I think transformational undergraduate education is something we've been doing at Baylor really since the founding of the university, and it's very core to who we are. But it really means taking students as they come in at whatever place in life they are and giving them experiences that help them to grow and develop personally, professionally, spiritually, in ways they never would have without having had that Baylor experience, and then leaving us as really a different, more mature, more well-rounded person that's going to have an even greater impact in the world than they would have before they came. I was at an event a few weeks ago with some of our student leaders, and we had an alum come back and speak to that group, and he shared about an experience he had on a study abroad trip as an undergraduate a number of years ago, and he had been a pretty marginal student for his first couple of years at Baylor, good enough to stay in school, but not much better than that. And he had a faculty member pull him aside on the third day of class on this study abroad trip and tell him that he was really smart and that he needed to focus and study and do his work because he had a lot of potential and he needed to take advantage of that. It flipped a switch on in him, changed the trajectory of his undergraduate career. He then went on to law school and has had a very successful and fulfilling life as an attorney. And he said that if it weren't for that and if some other experiences he had at Baylor, he doesn't know what direction his life would have taken. So it was a very specific example of how a faculty member, an experience or two, or a series of experiences you can have at Baylor really transform and change your life in important ways.
That's such a classic Baylor story. It's big enough to provide world-class opportunities around the world, but also small enough to get to know that individual student, find out maybe what the right button to push or the right way to challenge them.
Exactly. And I used that one story, but I hear stories like that all the time about faculty or staff that had that kind of an individual impact on someone's life. And that's certainly a significant part of the transformational experience at Baylor.
Well, as you said, for years, Baylor's really been known as a great undergraduate educational opportunity for students. How does Illuminate enhance this? How does it strengthen this and take it to the next level?
Well, a core part of Illuminate is to grow our research function at Baylor and to really grow the reputation and quality of the entire experience that students and faculty have at Baylor. And so we believe that in order to provide a really high-quality undergraduate education, students need to be deeply engaged in the learning experience that they're a part of. And engaging undergraduates in research experiences with top quality faculty with really exceptional graduate students is one of the ways that we know you can enrich an undergraduate learning experience in very, very significant ways. So the more research our faculty are doing, the more graduate students we have doing research that then give opportunities for our undergraduates to be engaged in that research in meaningful ways, whether it's in the classroom, in study experiences outside of the classroom, in volunteer opportunities in faculty's labs, it makes the undergraduate learning experience more significant. And we know from our recruitment staff that the top undergraduate students around the country are asking about the opportunities to do research while they're undergraduates and not having to wait till they're graduate students. So it's critically important to the experience that our undergraduates have and continuing to ensure that we're getting the best and the brightest students in our classes.
visiting with Baylor University President Dr. Linda Livingstone. And the fact that undergraduate education is one of those four pillars you mentioned, students want that and want to see that. But what does that say to those on the outside about the importance of that?
Well, I think it's expanding the view of what undergraduate education is all about and what it means to have a high-quality undergraduate education. And it's not even just about the research. There are elements of Illuminate that speak to other highly engaging learning experiences for our students, whether that's spiritual formation experiences that help them to grow and develop as people of faith, whether it is growth in their leadership capacity and their civic engagement in the communities, whether it's your local community or more broadly at the state and national level, or whether it's global study experiences. We have an element of what we're doing with undergraduates called Global Baylor, where we're really trying to increase the percentage of our students that study abroad, where we're trying to bring more international students to campus to enrich the learning experience on our campus, and where we're working to embed even more understanding of the global world in the classes that students take. And so embedded in Illuminate is not just the research component of what we want undergraduates to be able to do, but it is this broad and enriched, engaged undergraduate learning experience that helps them to become really thoughtful, well-rounded individuals as they go through the experiences at Baylor.
You know, we're talking about the pillars and transformative undergraduate education, but there are also five signature academic initiatives that are undergirded by those pillars. And those five initiatives are health, data sciences, material sciences, human flourishing, leadership, and ethics, and Baylor in Latin America. Let's start out more broadly. How will students experience those in the classroom, you know, just as a whole coming together?
We will have over time more degree programs in each of these areas. Just a few years ago, we created the Robbins College of Health Sciences, and so that really helped us expand the learning experience our students have in the health area. But in each of these areas, there are either degree programs students can engage in or minors or emphases that they can engage in. We will see more certificate programs over time, certainly for our students, but even for others to be in our community and to take advantage of. So from sort of a traditional degree program learning experience, each of those five pillars will be critical to us, not just with existing degree programs, but with new degree programs and learning opportunities that students will have in the future.
Visiting with Baylor President Linda Livingstone. And President Livingstone, those five signature academics initiatives, how were they chosen? How did those rise to the top?
Well, as we went through the process last year of thinking about how we would go about moving towards sort of preeminent status as a research university, we had to identify focus areas from an academic perspective. And so we really asked faculty to submit things that they thought were interesting, projects they were working on, research areas that would be interesting. And then as we began to understand that, began to understand better the work that our faculty are doing, we began to sort of see that these themes emerged. And what you will notice about each of these themes is they're all interdisciplinary, so they're not siloed by a particular discipline. So they involve people across campus. They are all areas that we have existing expertise on our campus, either in degree programs or faculty research. And so because of that, they're areas that with additional investment, we can really move the needle much more quickly on building research and reputation and quality programs in these areas. And then I think when you begin to look at the research that faculty are doing in each of these areas, you will also see that they are areas where the research can really help make a difference in some significant issues and problems that society is facing. And so as we kind of went through that process, these began to emerge as five areas of importance that we felt like we could have an impact on sooner rather than later. It doesn't mean that over time we won't add some other focus areas, but now these seem like the right ones to start with.
You know, as you read about Illuminate, it mentions that these areas are going to span across all schools on campus. Now, when you think about something like, say, health, obviously there's certain schools that make dovetails with. But, you know, I was a communication studies major, for instance. What's that going to look like? And I know that's still, you know, being shaped now. But how might something like health be something that I would experience or a future student would experience as a communication studies major, or maybe a major that doesn't necessarily align so easily with health in people's minds?
Right. Health's an interesting one because it's so pervasive in our world today, and it's a growing field. And so I think you could probably make an argument from almost any student on our campus connecting in the health field. But just in terms of communication, the ways in which patients and doctors communicate, the ways in which healthcare organizations communicate to the broader community, there's a huge need in public health arena for effective communication into communities that may not be very well served in terms of healthcare services to help them understand how to access and get to healthcare services. So I can make the argument for a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Communication is important there. I think about philosophy. How does a philosophy major relate to that? Well, if you think about all the ethical questions that they're facing in the healthcare arena, we need people that understand philosophy and ethics and help people think through some of those difficult ethical issues. Bioethics is a huge area, and there's a strong philosophy component to that. One of the most effective people at articulating the importance of what we're doing in Illuminate is Dr. Gary Mortensen, the School mm-hmm. of Music dean. And in some ways, you might think, well, how does the School of Music fit into any of these pillars, but certainly into the health pillar? But there's a lot of research that shows the role that music can play in health and wellness of individuals or in recovering from significant illness. So I think if we're willing to sort of step back and think broadly about some of these areas that we're talking about, you can see the important role that, you know, almost any faculty or staff or student could play in any one of these initiatives.
You know, we just talked about health there, but any of these other initiatives could fit into that, these questions as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, you mentioned the interdisciplinary nature of Illuminate, and when you think about implementing that, obviously the faculty all have to be bought in and all have to find ways to implement this in their own classroom. You mentioned the input they've had. What does that look like in terms of building ideas together of, okay, here's this topic, here's how, as you mentioned, music and communications and the Robbins College and HHPR and all these can tie these in together?
Well, one of the things that happened over the summer was a lot of listening sessions done by Dr. Gary Carini and Dr. Gary Mortensen, who are vice provosts and have really been working to lead the provost office and help put some meat and bones on the implementation of Illuminate. And all of those sessions this summer where they were talking about how we turn this into a reality and it's not just theoretical were interdisciplinary in nature. They brought faculty together from across campus in multiple listening sessions where they talked together about how do we make this work, how do we work together. And then as we move forward in the implementation, there will be working groups around each of the five initiatives that help provide leadership for that initiative. And each of those kind of oversight groups or coordinating groups will be interdisciplinary in nature. And so we are really working in how we're structuring the design of the implementation to make it interdisciplinary in nature, which will then help drive the interdisciplinary programs that need to be developed, the interdisciplinary research that needs to be done. And I think it's a learning process because universities haven't historically been structured to be very interdisciplinary, but yet we know that the significant problems in the world and the ways in which our students need to be educated have to be much more interdisciplinary as we go forward. So I think we're going to make tremendous progress on this, and we've had a tremendous engagement and response from faculty on thinking deeply about how they work with others that they might not have normally worked with in the past.
Maybe it's an obvious question, but how exciting is it to think about a generation of students who are grounded in their own discipline but are able to see through the eyes a little bit of disciplines around them?
Well, I think it's very exciting, and young people come to us now with a much broader view of the world and probably more well prepared for that than they certainly were when I was in college. And so I think that we're going to be producing graduates that are going to be really doing interesting and amazing things and thinking differently about how they solve problems because they have been educated in a much more interdisciplinary environment that gives them a different lens through which to look at issues and problems and to do their work than we would have done, you know, a number of years ago.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Baylor University President Dr. Linda Livingstone. And President Livingstone, you think about these peers, you think about the initiatives, there's all a lot of interplay. And you talked about research in the classroom with undergraduate students. But as we talk about transformational undergraduate education, you know, that research aspect, let's go a little deeper into that, because I do think a lot of us have traditionally thought of that as more postgraduate doctoral work. What might that look like practically for an undergraduate student?
Well, it can cut across many different disciplines and look very differently, but let's use an example. We have a faculty member that does a lot of work on water quality and how do we ensure kind of the health and safety of communities through water quality, because that's a huge issue and there's going to be a huge shortage of water around the world in years ahead, and which could cause a lot of issues and concerns. And so that faculty member has a lab, does a lot of research both in the lab and out in the field. And part of what that faculty member does is engage undergraduate students in the laboratory working on the research that he's doing. And so those students are not only going to learn the technical skills of doing the research, but they're going to be out in the field and they're going to see the impact in the world of what happens if we're not doing the right things with return in terms of the quality of the water that we have, which has really much broader implications in society than just whether the person drinking the water is healthy or not. And so that's a tremendously rich learning experience for our students. But then, you know, you think a lot about that research in a laboratory kind of setting, but then, you know, we're going to have faculty or students doing research with faculty in the humanities, which might be done in a very different way. They might be doing ethnographic research where they're interviewing people in different communities or with different cultural backgrounds. And through that, they're going to be broadening their view of the world and understanding the world in different ways. We have faculty in the School of Social Work that are doing really important work on how do you prevent and stop human trafficking. So we have students that are working on that research that is, again, helping them understand intellectually why we need to do that. But then they're, you know, in the field and they're seeing what's the impact of human trafficking on the lives of children and particularly women. And they're sort of feeling it and experiencing it at a very deep level. And if you don't have students involved in research in that way, they can intellectually understand something, but not sort of in their heart and soul see why it's so important that they continue that work or why that kind of research really matters and makes a difference in the world.
You know, you mentioned that students, top students, more and more want to see research in their undergraduate experience. And we've talked about the fact before that this year's freshman class, most qualified in Baylor history. And I mean, they may have the record right now, but it's all been pretty close these last few
years.
It has
been, which is a good thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah, some good competition. Where has that demand come from? Maybe when did you, in your roles in higher education and others, start noticing that there was more of a demand for research from students in that undergraduate piece?
I suspect that part of that happened because in recent years, and really over a long period of time, there's been a lot of research on how do you create rich learning experience for students? How do students learn best? And what you understand when you look at that research is the more engaged students are in the learning experience, the more hands-on their experience is, the more applied the learning experience is, even if there's theory and context around that, the more likely it is that they're going to remember that they're going to apply it and use it in important ways. And so that engagement in the learning experience can happen in a lot of different ways, but one of those ways is through research. And I also think that you've seen students doing more and more research in the high school level before they even come to college. And so they come to us having had some of that experience. And then we know that if we provide them with these engaged hands-on learning experiences, they're going to learn better and more, and it's going to be more useful to them as they go out and do whatever they do after they graduate. So I think it's a combination of how they come to us now, different than they used to come to us in terms of learning experiences they've had, and what we've learned over the years through research about learning and education and how to ensure that we're providing the richest educational experience that we can.
We are visiting with Baylor University President Linda Livingstone, heading into the final couple of moments of the program. And President Livingstone, you know, we talked about some of these initiatives, such as health. We've talked about students learning inside and outside of the classroom. But what about partnerships that help make this possible? I know in the health field, Baylor has a number of partnerships that just provide easier access for students to engage in these learning environments.
an important part of the implementation of Illuminate is going to be working with significant partners, whether that's on research with faculty or whether it's on the development of academic programs. And the health area is a great example of that. Baylor has a very strong name in the healthcare world. And certainly part of that's because of what we do at Baylor University, but Baylor College of Medicine shares our name. Baylor Scott & White shares our name. We have a wonderful program, the Baylor Army Medical Program at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio. So we have a rich and long history in the healthcare field. And so strengthening those partnerships with other institutions like Baylor College of Medicine, Baylor Scott & White, Fort Sam Houston and the military provide us with tremendous opportunity to do research in ways we couldn't do otherwise, to provide academic programs that any one of those organizations couldn't provide by themselves, but in partnership we can. And it benefits each of those organizations. And so we're working on how we strengthen those partnerships and others as well, and how we do it in a way that really raises the boat for all of us in terms of the quality of the educational experience we provide, the diversity and creativity of the programs we provide, and then certainly the quality of research that our faculty are doing.
You talk about Baylor being well-positioned. All of that plays into that as we talk about Illuminate. And as we talk about Illuminate, final question for you. As we head into the month of October and into the fall, it's really going to be a key time for the Baylor family as we learn more about Illuminate. What can we expect to learn in these fall months ahead now about Illuminate and other visionary programs here at Baylor?
Well, what you'll begin to see in the fall and then as we go into spring is some specific initiatives coming out of Illuminate. We've been doing a lot of planning, a lot of working on the implementation, but I think you'll begin to see some new degree programs emerging out of this. I think you'll begin to see some new research projects coming out of this. You will likely see some new partnerships coming out of this. We've certainly talked about some that already exist, so I think that will be important. And then the other part of Illuminate that's important is ensuring that we have the funding behind it to make it a success. And so a big part of that is going to be a major fundraising campaign, a comprehensive fundraising campaign in a way that we have never done before. And so we're going to be launching that fundraising campaign this fall. We're calling that Give Light. And so we're excited about that and certainly want to encourage everybody to come alongside us and help make this a reality in many different ways, including being able to raise the funds that we're going to need to support our faculty and staff and students in this endeavor.
It's going to be really exciting to see all these disparate elements coming together to help make this a reality. Well, President Livingstone, thanks so much for your time. I know it's a very busy time in the life of Baylor, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Well, I'm always happy to be here and really look forward to what's ahead and being able to continue to tell the story of all the good things happening at Baylor.
Thank you very much. President Linda Livingstone, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online at baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Thanks for joining us on Baylor Connections.